Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Think about what can go right when you plan for the future. Talk to a financial broker and start your savings plan today.
Now, the Cabinet Subcommittee on Ukraine is meeting this afternoon to discuss the current refugee and asylum seeker accommodation crisis. Today's meeting will focus on how other EU countries have been accommodating and supporting refugees from Ukraine and how Ireland compares. Well, Naomi O'Leary is Europe editor with the Irish Times, and in today's paper, she has done just that. So you're doing your work for us, Naomi. You're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Cormac.
Worth reminding people that since the invasion of Ukraine, it's given rise to a huge migrant crisis across Europe. 4.6 million refugees are estimated to have arrived in the EU in 1 year, which is a phenomenal figure. 70,000 Ukrainian refugees have arrived in Ireland since the war began, and that's at 1.4% of our population as it stands. So how does that number in particular, the 70,000, compare to other EU countries?
In terms of the proportion of the population, we're about middle of the table. We're not near the top. Up at the top is the Czech Republic. They've had the equivalent number of 4.5% of their population arrive in Ukrainian refugees. They've had 500,000. And then in terms of absolute numbers, the country which has taken in the most is Poland. They have 1.5 million, followed by Germany with 1 million. For Poland, that's like 4.1% of their population, and Germany, it's a much lower percentage. Mm-hmm. But yeah, quite significant. Estonia, something like 3.1% of the population, but like very high. There's other countries which are much lower, like Malta, it's just a few thousand, Luxembourg, it's lower, and so on.
Okay, so we're not the highest, not the lowest, is one way of putting it. In terms, we often hear from politicians that it's our legal obligation, Naomi, to accept people seeking international protection. Has this put a strain on other countries, as it has done here, in terms of public services?
So, in terms of people who are arriving from Ukraine, who are fleeing the war in Ukraine, they have a special status which has never been used before, called the Temporary Protection Directive. That's a rule that was thought of at the time of the Balkan Wars, when people were fleeing the Balkans, and it's designed for the huge, very, very large influxes from the European region, which you wouldn't be able to treat in the normal manner because of the time that it takes to process the usual asylum application process. So they are just automatically given protection. It's the first time this rule has ever been used. Ukrainians don't need to apply for asylum. They have it automatically if they're fleeing the conflict. And so they have the right to work. They have the right to go to school if they're children, and so on. So it's slightly different. Normally, people who are fleeing conflicts from elsewhere go through a whole process of claiming it, which takes a very long time.
So the process is far faster for Ukrainians. And in terms of the type,
it's faster.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the type of accommodation that's used in other EU countries, because we're using hotels here an awful lot. Is that a similar case in other countries?
Well, what I was going to say is that part of the Temporary Protection Directive, that rule that I was talking about, that says it's the responsibility of states to find, to ensure suitable accommodation or receive the means to obtain housing for people who have that protection. But because it's never been used before and the conflict is evolving all the time, states are pretty much making it up as they go along. It's the situation is slightly different in different EU countries, and also it's evolving as we sort of guess at how long the conflict is going to last for. Mm. It's a status that lasts for 1 year to begin with, and it can be extended up to 3 years. So in general, if you're fleeing the war in Ukraine and you come into the EU, you arrive in a particular country and claim protected status there, what will happen is you'll go to some center, like main processing center. That'll be somewhere where you could stay for maybe one or two nights, not very long. And there you're given information about options for you about where to stay. That could be just private rentals. Here's how you rent an apartment. It could be networks of people who have volunteered to give up houses or spare rooms, or it could be something state provided, like a big accommodation center.
Okay.
Different countries have turned all sorts of things into accommodation centers. Sports halls, boats in the Netherlands, all kinds of things. A big trade hall in Germany was turned into an accommodation centre. It really depends on what's available.
So
some
you
countries
the
use
Netherlands,
hotels, but Ireland,
Ireland
is making
more use of hotels, I suppose. Yeah, you mentioned the
Ireland
Netherlands
almost completely relies on hotels, which is quite unusual. Yeah.
They have a similar housing shortage to our own in the Netherlands, don't they? So are there parallels that you see there with here?
Well, the parallels would be, I mean, the it's down to the municipalities, so local authorities, to find accommodation anywhere they can. And they've been very creative. There was investigation of whether a military barracks could be turned into emergency accommodation. I think a holiday camp for students got turned into accommodation. And also boats, as I mentioned, cruise ships, I think, in Rotterdam, and an old gunship from the Cold War got rid of, which was retrofitted to receive 23 people. So really all kinds of things. And it, like I said, it depends on what's available.
Okay, look, Naomi O'Leary, Europe correspondent with the Irish Times. I think you've got people thinking there. 51551. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.